In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
In moments like this, when you are still, is when your flesh dies, and that's when Jesus is revealed to you in worship. The flesh and self cannot stand to be still, and the Bible says, be still and know that I am the Lord. Just keep your eyes closed and focus on him. It's a kind of worship. Eyes closed everywhere, please. While this keyboard just plays, keep your eyes closed, lift your hands, and just focus on the Lord. Listen.
Immanuel, 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 yeah. Your name be praised.
God is already moving in this place. So the Spirit of God is already moving right now. Focus more on Him moving than just the song. Emmanuel. Your name is come. If you can, just lift your hands. The Spirit of the Lord is asking me to walk around this place. I don't know what God wants to do now. This is the point where you just focus on the Lord. I believe this is somebody's moment. God wants to remove heavy burdens from some people. In this still atmosphere, God wants to bring deliverance to some families here. God wants to anoint people right now. Make sure you're not distracted. You don't even need to open your eyes. Just focus on Him touching you. No, na, 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 na. Hey, Emmanuel. Oh, your name is come. Emmanuel. Listen. The Bible says in Exodus 32, when Moses asked to see the glory of God, God told Moses, He said, I will put you on the hinder clefts of the rock. And I will cause my goodness and my mercy to pass by you. That's the scripture God gave me. That's why I'm passing around. As I'm walking around, that's the scripture God gave me. He said, I will cause my goodness and mercy to pass by you. Please don't miss this moment. This is why you came. Great deliverance can happen in this moment. Don't miss it. Just focus on Him, not me. It's not about me. Worship gets you to a point where you lose consciousness even of the song. And then you become conscious of the one that you are singing about. You know, the flesh cannot stand when you are still. That's the hardest point, being still in the presence of the Lord. The flesh cannot stand it. Self cannot stand being still. It wants to distract you. But if you can, for just 5 minutes, be still. I sense the Spirit of the Lord about to do a quick walk in this place. Please open your hands before you like you want to receive. I see the Spirit of the Lord giving jobs to people right now. Emmanuel. I see the Lord putting appointment letters on the hands of people. Putting contracts on the hands of people. I didn't plan to do this. This is just a spur of the moment ministration.
Jesus.
I see the Lord healing the bodies of some people right now. I see the Lord bringing healing.
Oh, your name is called.
I told you, just close your eyes. Don't open your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Be still. Just focus on Him.
Imagine.
The Lord is empowering some people right now. Some young man is empowering you.
Emmanuel.
Lord, let the weight of your glory come upon us that we cannot breathe. Upon us tonight. Breathe upon us tonight. Sola matalamaya nama. He says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, young and old. I will pour out my spirit. Your name is come. I will pour out my spirit. Just keep your eyes closed. The Lord is touching people right now. Your name is come. Receive the breath of the Spirit. You are worthy of my praise. Oh, you are worthy of my praise. Jesus, you are worthy of my praise. Oh, you are worthy of my praise. Oh Lord Jesus, you are worthy of my praise. This is a season of the power and the grace of God like never before. This is a season of the move of God. This is a season where the glory of God is being revealed.
You are worthy of my praise. Jesus.
Is this your child? I want you to see me after the service. Is this your only child? Okay, with this one? I want to see me after the service, okay?
You are worthy of my praise.
Now, no keyboard. Just silence. The Lord said every oppression is being lifted right now. I said every oppression is being lifted right now. Anyone under any yoke, under any spell, the Lord is bringing deliverance right now. I want you to whisper the name Jesus. That's right. Whisper it again. Two more times and the power of God will be released. Again. Jesus. Whisper it again. Whisper it for the last time. Whisper it for the last time. Whisper it. Touch! Touch! Let every weight of darkness be lifted, be lifted, be lifted. Every form of oppression over families right now, online and here on site, be lifted now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Touch. Korabashata. That's the power. That's the power. That's the power. That's the power. Let the arrows of the wicked, the arrows of hell, be removed now. Be removed now. Be removed now. You are worthy of my praise. Lift your hands and let's sing it together. Amazing. You are worthy of my praise. Yes, Lord. Oh, woo, my God. I feel the power of God. You are worthy. Much amazing. You are worthy, worthy, worthy of my praise. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Say, Jesus. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Wave your hands and magnify Jesus. Wave your hands and bless him. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for a divine visitation tonight. Wave your hands and give thanks of your spirit. In Jesus' name. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I welcome you. That's where you are now. It's called... It's an experience in the name of Jesus. Bro Enoch, where is your wife? Okay. Where is she? All right. I want you to expect God to touch you tonight. I want you to expect God for a visitation. I want you to sustain a hunger that beckons on God to come to you in this service. That's why it's called a service. Every machine once in a while is serviced so that it can, it's serviced to produce better efficiency. That's why you are here. You are here to be serviced by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. So as the Word is going forth, I want your heart to be sensitive. Desperate for a touch. Believe God to do more than he did last week. You can't operate with last week's anointing. No. What you received last week was for last week. Today you are here to receive something new. If you believe it and you are ready to receive something new from the Lord, shout a louder amen. Amen. Are you set? So I'd like your hearts to be open. I believe that there will be some impartations that the Lord will do tonight. Not necessarily because I will declare it. I just have a strong impression in my spirit that as I'm teaching, regardless of what I'm saying, the Spirit of God will be dropping heavy impartations of grace and anointings upon people here. We all have different needs. spiritually and physically. And as the word is going forth, God is going to visit everyone here. So let your heart be open and ready to receive, not just with your ears as you listen, but with your heart to receive. Amen. The name of God be glorified. In Jesus' name. Take it down by one turn.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, you are well.
Yes, sir.
Come flood this place and fill thee. Your glory, glory. To be overcome. Say, Holy Spirit,
you are welcome.
Come flood this place and fill the land. Your glory, God, glory.
Hey,
to be overcome.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Let us become, let us. Let us speak.
Sunday, every day of our lives, let us become,
let us become all aware of your presence. Let us,
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill this atmosphere. Your glory, God, is all our heart longs for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, say your presence.
One more time, your presence, say, oh.
Revival seasons are the moments and the seasons when we become more aware of the presence of God. I believe that it is God's desire that we live constantly in the consciousness of Him. Be as conscious of God as you know you need air to breathe. It is in that consciousness that you can have and experience a definite relationship with God. It's in that consciousness that you can talk to Him in prayers. In fact, prayer is powerful when it is done out of consciousness. How many of you go to pray and the moment you say in Jesus' name, you have not just an awareness, you know that you know that you know that Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit is right there with you. That's how your fellowship with God should be. And so seasons of revival is meant to rekindle that fire, the fire and hunger for the presence of God. That's one of the things I want to reignite. That's why it's not just teaching this season. No. Some of these things that we do is practically exposing you to the presence of God and teaching you how to behave, what to do, the protocol that leads you into His presence and how to stay there so that the experience is not just only on Sunday. No. You can live with that experience every day. Every day of your life. And when you live constantly with that consciousness, a time will come when people come around you, they know that this one is a vessel that carries God. You don't need to tell them. Most of the time, the reason why we pray and we don't see answers is because we are not even conscious that the presence of God is with us. So we are not sure whether God heard us or not. Many Christians I see, their prayers are based on 50-50. They hope that God heard them. But if you know that God is with you, you will always know that this is the confidence that we have in Him. That whatsoever we ask of Him, He does it. And the Bible says if we know, meaning if we are conscious that He hears us, then we know that we have whatever we ask. It doesn't matter how big or small the request is. Requests are all the same before God. But you must be aware of His presence. You must be conscious of His presence. Hold the hands of somebody beside you and just pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. It's part of the service. It's an experience. That's what we promise you when you come here. It's not just service as usual. No. You can get that anywhere else. But here, it's an experience. That's what you are promised. Enter that experience. Solo bokro tele marana. Lokobo shila mahatalama. Legro satalamandre tele bahasa. Pray. Lori asuda hamagrata lamande kreske lebedias. Yes, Lord. If it had not been for the Lord, who was always on our side, oh my God, the enemy would have swallowed us. Yes, Lord, would have drowned in the water. Oh, yes. Yeah. But our souls have found an escape, a hiding place in You. The powerlessness is broken. Can I make a die? Our help is in the name of the Lord. We're nothing without You. Without You, You are the air that I breathe. We can't live without You. I wish you can listen to the song. Without You, oh Lord, in You I live. Hey. Nothing without You. I don't know about others, but I can't live without You, Lord. In You I live and move and have my being. You know, worship brings you to a point where the confession becomes personal. I can't say for everybody, when I say I can't live without you, I can't say we, because some people can live without God. Some people can stay 1 week without praying or talking to God. As long as they have their coffee, as long as they have their favorite food around them, their favorite TV show. But as for me, I can't live without God. 12 hours and I've not spoken to God is enough for me to start feeling guilty. You need Him just like you need air. You need oxygen. That's how addicted you can become to God. Addicted to God.
Hosanna to Jehovah.
Yes, Lord.
You are the air that I breathe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In you I live and move and have my being.
Wave your hands to Jesus if you can. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I'll trust you. Are my hiding place. Yes, Lord, you always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in the strength of the Lord, I will trust in you. Yeah, I will trust in you. Oh yeah, let the wind say. Strong in the strength of the Lord. You alone are my strength and shield. For you, to you alone may my spirit renew. For you alone am I desire and I long to worship.
In your seated positions, I want you in the next 1 minute to pray and ask God for more of Him. Open your mouth and pray. Ask Him for more of Him.
Desire and I long to worship. You alone are my heart. desire and I long to worship you.
Listen.
My God and King, to you alone I sing. You're the air I breathe. For all eternity, you are my dream come true. Just to be with you and now I see brand new. With eyes for only you,
Balagaramasiko Tolo Branama, Balagaramasiko Paradanamas, Shiko Lobrono Lobronosa, Loria Handasa Cremendo Sholomondrekem, Tadamaranga Masia Lama.
With eyes for all.
Listen to the lyrics of this song.
My God and King.
Just close your eyes and listen to the lyrics of the song.
To you alone I sing. You're the face I seek. For all eternity, you are my dream come true. Just to be with you, how I see, now I see brand new. With eyes for only you, dream come true. Just to be with you. Now I see brand new. For only you, with eyes for only you.
One more time.
With eyes for only you.
Hallelujah. Let's get to the word. Something has happened to many of us right now. You may not sense it, you may not feel it, but this kind of atmosphere, when you keep getting exposed to this kind of atmosphere, one of the things you realize is, first of all, it will begin to change your desire. When we get you used to these kinds of atmospheres, atmospheres of intense worship, where your focus is on God and God alone, and you're not distracted by the mundane to it, and then you begin to desire things like this. Mm-hmm. Number two, it will begin to change your appetite. What you begin to hunger for will be different. That's how God changes men. God will change you by first changing your desires. He will make you desire Him above everything. Amen. To do in this series. Let's continue from last week. Series on revival. Secrets to revival. And I gave you four
things or false secrets that every one of us must have or walk in to see revival. I call them the right attitude for you to experience revival. I told you that revival is the move of God's Spirit in any direction amongst his people to introduce something new upon the earth. Revival is a restoration from a state of spiritual decline to a state of spiritual vibrancy. When more of God becomes your obsession, when God becomes your desire, when you become more aware of the presence of God, reviving where the Spirit of God begins to do something amongst his people. Please don't be distracted sooner or later. I only apologize to those who are watching online. Amen. I gave you four secrets seeing revival. Number one, kindness. Number two, repentance. Number three, spiritual hunger. And I didn't talk about, I want to start from there today. And then after that, we'll finish the message for this service. Love. Love. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 19, the Bible says, we love him because he first. Our love for God is a response or a reaction to his love in our heart. One of the greatest motivation for the pursuit of God and for seeing genuine revival is love. Please listen. This may be the highest point of this service. One of the greatest motivation to pursue God and to see genuine revival. I'm talking about the motivation that will allow you to stop even when you are physically tired is love. If you have brokenness, repentance, spiritual hunger without love, you won't see revival. Love. God is attracted to those that walk in love. Love for God and love. At the end of the day, love is the greatest motivation to seeing and walking in the genuine power of God. It takes love for God to stay in his presence. It takes love for God to pray. It takes love for God to see God move through you. I'm telling you the truth. It takes genuine love. Especially to stay in the presence of God well enough to experience revival. The reason why many people don't carry the power and the grace of God is not because God has chosen only a few. No. We have all been called. Every one of us can live the life of a saint, manifesting the glory and the presence of God. But the reason why very few people walk in it, the reason why we have very few men and women of God, is because the price to his presence is staying. And if you don't love God, you will not stay. Especially when there's no food in your house. You know, it takes genuine love for God to focus in prayer when there's no food at home. When there's no money in your account. Your love for God is tested in the absence of the things of this life. It takes genuine love for God. Any man that wants to see revival and carry the presence of God in his generation, you must walk in love. Genuine love. I'm not talking about the human kind of love, no. That is conditional. I'm talking about the love of God planted in our heart. One of the easiest ways to flow in the anointing is to walk in love. Did you hear what I said? I'm not sure you heard what I said. Many of you were distracted. Let me say it again. One of the easiest ways to walk in the anointing is a secret, I'm giving it to you, is to walk in love. You get it, and you will see God walk through you. Love. And I think we need that love, especially because in our days, we are living in a world that seems to be absent of love. Love in this world is on the decline. I'm not talking about the love that Michael Jackson sang about. Oh. Not that kind of love, no. I'm talking about the love that flows from God. I'm talking about love that will make you pray for people that persecute you. I'm talking about, you know, when the Bible says love that covers a multitude of sin. That kind of love, very few believers are walking in it.
And it is my desire that in this season of revival, God will stir up genuine love in our heart. Love. Love that will make you go to a place where you are invited to preach and they dishonor you. Everything about that place is wrong from when you enter till when you climb the pulpit. But because of the love of God in your heart, you go beyond the disruptions and still bless the people. Love that will make you go anywhere God sends you. Love. Love that makes you compassionate, that makes you touched with the feelings of people. That's the love that was in the heart of Stephen when they were stoning him to death. He said, Lord, do not charge them for their sin. How many of you want to walk in that kind of love? See, that is that when that love is present in your heart, you will become so broken. Even you, you'll be amazed at yourself. People will see the genuine change. Things that you don't tolerate before, you start tolerating it. Not because you approve of wrongdoings, but because the love of God has softened your heart. And it's only that kind of heart that can carry the power of God. You see, the glory and the power of God is heavy. It's real power. It can destroy if it meets flesh. So the only thing that will cover flesh so that that power can flow through you is love. Many people say they love God, but they don't really love God. You see it by their actions towards God. A man that truly loves God will spend time in his presence. A man that truly loves God will desire God above his needs. A man that truly loves God will come into a service like this, and even though you came with a burden, you came with a problem, but you lay it aside and focus on him, because you know once you get him, those problems are solved. One of my greatest motivation to what doing what I'm doing is love. I'm telling you the truth. That's why nothing can discourage me. I love God. Forget about this stage. Forget about the followership online. Forget about the influencer. I love God. It's my life. You want to see the move of God? You want to see revival? Love. In Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 16 to 19, the Bible speaks about Christ being rooted in our hearts, and that we with all the saints will be able to comprehend the width, the length, the breadth, and the height, and to know the love of God that passes all knowledge. That's verse 19 now. So that we will be filled with the fullness of God. Knowing the love of God is what brings the fullness of God in a man. That's what this scripture is saying. Please, pay attention. Knowing the love of God, experiencing his love, means you are experiencing the fullness of God. So if you want to see the fullness of God manifest through your life, the fullness of God means all the blessings that God has to offer, all the graces that God has to give, all the anointings that you desire to walk in. If you want to see the fullness of God, the Bible says it must happen through love. Love, love, love. What qualifies your prayer to be acceptable before God is the extent of love. Love that is given with it. Love. Is your prayer coming from a depth of love? There are people who fast, but they don't love God. They fast with selfishness. And so their fasting doesn't go beyond the roof. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. It says, neither has it entered even into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. How many of you want to see those things manifest? I'm talking about, especially those of you who are always coming around for Pneumatech. We have seen the move of God in this place. We have seen miracles. We have heard testimonies that are mind-blowing. But the Bible says that there are things that eyes have not yet seen, ears have not heard. And those things are only laid up for those that love God. It is love that will make you press into God. It's love that makes you hunger for God. Let love become your greatest motivation to pursuing God, pursuing God. Don't pursue God because your friend is anointed. Don't pursue God because your friend is a pastor, Yuma. You know, there are people like that. If my friend is anointed, I must be anointed too. If my sister is anointed, I must be anointed. There are people who think that ministry is a family inheritance. It's in the family blood. It's a lie. You don't need to pursue ministry. Just pursue love for God. And God will give you even what people who are in ministry don't have. Love. There are many graces on my life I was not born with. It was attracted by love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many of us, by the grace of God, recently, I've seen there's a grace manifesting in my life. I can speak to the weather and it will change the way I want it to change. You know how that grace came? Love. That's what the Lord told me. He said, I gave you that one not because you pray. I gave you that one because I love you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Love. Tonight we are going to pray. Before I continue the message, we are going to pray for a baptism of love. There's a lot of selfishness in church. That's why we are not seeing the move of God. Selfishness is what makes us put self before God. If any other thing else apart from love motivates your walk with God, motivates your service for God, God will not be number one. Selfishness is the reason why people come to church today and will not come next week. Do you know what love will make you do for God? How many of you have trekked from your house to go to church before? Not because it's Salah and they are praying on the road. You know, in Maiduguri here, other cities where people are watching now is different. But here in Maiduguri, there are times when they used to do Salah, right? And there's no keke. So that morning, everybody treks to church. I'm not talking about that trekking. I'm talking about you don't have transport, but you must be in Pneumatech. And so you carry your fine shoe and your fine clothes, put the shoe inside nylon, wear slippers, and trek to church. When last did you do something because you love God? No, ask yourself. You now see, you see, I'm exposing a lot of selfishness, and this selfishness is the reason why God is having a hard time touching us and moving. Somebody needs to listen to me tonight because this is your key. This is your key. Selfishness is what is blocking God from move. The power of God is hindered from moving in your life because you are full of yourself. Every time God looks at you, he sees nothing that concerns him. Every time God looks at your life, looks at your plan, you plan everything and there is no God inside. How many of you will always want to give to a selfish person? Please wave your hand to the glory of God. You know somebody is selfish and you are moved to always do something for... No, even once I will not try it. Because a selfish person will not be grateful. A selfish person will not acknowledge. So when God looks at our life, does he see self or does he see himself? That you came to church today, why did you come? Let's start from there. Why are you here? If it is anything other than God, my brother, my sister, I love you, but you are still selfish. You need to be baptized with the love of God. Listen, God, this God we are talking about is not far. His hands are not too short to bring deliverance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God that we serve is alive, and is ready to move in our midst, move in our lives, move in our situations. But what is stopping him is lack of love. There are many people who want God to bless them, not because there is a motivation of love to help others, but so that they can drive a C300 and let people know that their God is alive. In Jesus' mighty name. There are some of you, you know yourself, that if God mistakenly bless you now with millions, shut down. I don't have a problem with your shutdown, but do you have a more, what's the word I will use? Do you have a more noble motivation, a more noble reason? Do you have a more noble reason for why God should give you wealth? Do you see the sufferings of God's people and you are touched with love in your heart? Can I be honest with you, brothers and sisters? If I didn't love God, this ministry will not exist. Do you know what it means to have something like this in this city? This is not Port Harcourt where you have refinery workers, oil company workers in your congregation. You have NMPC workers where the pastor take car today, pastor take house. No, 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 no. Do you know what it means to do ministry in the corner? Corner. If you don't love God, wallahi, you quit. Wallahi. I can't tell you the things I have sacrificed. My life is so sacrificed before God that I'm not, there's really nothing to hold on to. There's nothing to boast about again. What we are enjoying here, that in a desert, we have at least an oasis. I was talking with some of our sisters from Yola 2 days ago, and they were complaining to me about the state of the church over there, with all due respect to that city. And I jokingly asked them, I said, do you want me to relocate to Yola? They shouted yes, the speaker almost broke in my phone. But it's love for God that has kept us here, that has made us consecrate to God, that as things that we should enjoy, that other young people are enjoying, we no greed enjoy. We separate ourselves so that we can become a vessel. If you can, see, you are going to pray tonight for God to baptize you with love. Listen, that your family, God can move. That God wants to stretch his hand, but he's looking for a selfless and a loving person. Hold the hand of your neighbor. We are going to pray for 2 minutes. Lord, baptize us with your love. I don't know if you understood what I just said. If sacrifice is becoming a burden for us, it's because there's lack of love. Love for God. Love for people. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love that motivates you to do anything for God. Anything.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. In the words you hear, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound to your ears.
Hallelujah. Before we go to the message for today, look at Romans chapter 5. Let me show you something. That we are born again and we are believers. The grace, the mercy, and the love of God that we enjoy today is a product of the act of love of one man. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. We'll read verse 6 to verse 8, then we'll read verse 18. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Not for people who loved him. He died for people who hated him, who rebelled against him. People who don't care if there is God or not. For scarcely, look at this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. That he's a good man or he's a righteous man is still not enough reason for another man to lay down his life for that one. At best, they will celebrate you and even award you. But for me to lay down my life because of you, who you be? Yet, perhaps for a good man, someone may even dare to die. But look at verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were sinners and we told God, Waka, come to church. No! He died for you. So that's how to love. You know you truly love when the people you love don't reciprocate it to you. And you are still self-motivated to keep loving them. That is true love. That one is missing in many relationships. That's why many young people, their hearts have been so broken that there's no more heart.
many young people that there's nothing here. It's just empty. It's the truth. Many young people are selfish these days. I'm sorry to say, it's not an insult, but it's the truth. And we know, we all enter into relationships for what we'll get. Yes or no? If two people are entering a relationship because of what they want to get, who is now entering to lose to the other person? Who is now entering to give to the other person? That's why the relationship is wrecked. The root of the problem in many relationships and marriage is tied to self. No love. If we can love like Jesus, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he died. Verse 18. This is one I love the most. I was meditating on this scripture all through this morning. It said, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. That means one man sinned, Adam sinned. And because of his sin, every human being is punished. How many of you like that? I went to a boarding house where if one person sinned, they'll punish everybody. They call it corporal punishment. In Nigerian Navy, they say it's onward together. They don't want to know who did it. As far as it was done, just two, all of you come out. Enter gutter. They don't care who did it, all of you. I'm sure they were trying to build love and brotherhood in us. That's what happened with Adam. Were you there when Adam ate the fruit? No. Is it apple he ate or grape he ate? You don't know. Who knows whether the fruit was even sweet? But because of his misbehavior, all flesh. Give us that scripture. It says, even so, through one man's righteous act. One man's righteous act reversed the whole thing and has brought the free gift of grace to men. The gift of grace that brings justification. Because of one man, all of us are called sinners. Because of another man, all of us are saved. One man's righteous act. What is the righteous act? Love. If we want to see revival, love. If you want to grow in the anointing, die to self, die to hate, die to malice, die to bitterness, die to anger. Love them. Let me tell you something about love. You see, love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. You can be angry with somebody and still love them. Yeah, that's how to love. Don't wait till you feel like it's enough feeling like it. Let me just not lie. With the anger to slap the person back and front, still demonstrate an act of love. It's difficult, but it's painful. Apostle, for just give and backhand small. I used to be like that too. Honestly, I used to be very selfish. Very selfish. If you had met me that time, you would not like me at all. But as I began to stay in the presence of God and walk with Him, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. There's something He'll begin to do in your heart. You know, it starts from Him keeping you there. You know, when God keeps you in the place of prayer, you don't feel anything, you don't hear anything, you don't sense anything. Sometimes it can be annoying. Abi? And then God will be watching you remain there. That's how He makes us die to self and start loving. When your motivation is not what you receive, but you are just here because you love God. Now that love can flow through you to people and you'll become a chosen and a choiced vessel. Hallelujah. So let's face the message for today. Betting the flames of revival. Psalms 85 verse 6. Betting the flames of revival. This is the part two of last week. Betting the flames of revival. If you want to see the flames of revival burn on your campus, in your school, in your hostel, in your room. I told you my story about my roommates last week, right? You know, if I hated them, God would never have touched them. I hope you know. If I hated and say, see them womanizers, drunkards. God would never have. You want to see the move of God through your family? Yes. Please, sir, increase it. Psalms 85 verse 6. He said, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? I don't know if this is the cry of somebody's heart. I don't know if this is the prayer of somebody's mind. I don't know. Sometimes I feel I'm the only one in the class of man. Maybe I'm the only one that really desires the move of God. How many of you want to see the power of God again in your time? He said, will you not revive us again? It's like somebody praying, and a person out of holy anger shouts because of the pain of seeing lukewarmness in the church, because of the pain of seeing misbehavior amongst believers, because of the pain of seeing the devil going around destroying and killing and wreaking havoc, and it looks like there is no God in his scene. Out of that pain, the man cries, will you not revive us again? It's like the cry that you need to make over your family. Will you not revive us again? Look at all of us in this family. Slaves to witchcraft. Slaves to shrines. Everybody, you see one pattern of the enemy of the other. Everybody suffering this or that. Nobody has broken through or risen. Will you not revive us again? When I came to this town in 2014, 21st March, that was my cry. I'm sure that's why we are here. Takes one man to sustain that cry for years. You know, the problem with many Christians is they can be hungry for God today and tomorrow they found another thing to satisfy them. But when you decide you will not settle for less, and we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. That's the hunger in my heart. Oh, from that time, praying every night, and I can't tell you all that thing. It was a cry for revival. I said, God, what kind of city is this? What kind of a town is this? I came from a place where we were used to seeing the move of God. My elder brother knows. I came from a place where when we hold worship concert, even unbelievers will come. I'm talking about concert. You know how they do concert? People just jump and shout and dance and go. Our own, it doesn't have end. We don't used to share grace. All we know is how we start. By the end of the meeting, you see people on the ground, outside, inside. You finish the concert, some people will be on the altar crying. I remember that was joyful noise. I remember one time we did one of those meetings. We left that night and the next day some of us came back to pray. We saw some people slept that night in the church. I don't know how God broke out in that meeting. They will not leave. So where I was staying then, I was used to the move of God. Everybody was having encounters. I had this group of friends where if we pray and start speaking in tongues, everybody will manifest one gift. There was this person amongst us that she could interpret tongues. There was this other one that would, her own prophecy, she would say what is in everybody's heart. So everybody, you repent before you come for the prayers. And you repent and carry the blood of Jesus like this. I'm telling you, very dangerous prophetic move. We are young guys. We used to pray every Wednesday and Friday, 10 to 12. In the morning, minus night prayers. That one was consistent. 10 to 12. Sometimes we will not finish by 12. Sometimes 1, 2. I mean, that where I came from that time, dry fasting was a competition. Healthy one, not like everybody saying, not like people trying to say, oh, I did. I remember one of those days we went for the prayers. I came in and saw God's servant, Apostle Jonathan Shokonya, with a few people. I came in to start the prayer. He was just smiling, seated alone. I said, now, wow, why this man is smiling like this? So I went to greet him. Then he told me to sit near him. He said, Joe, do you know why I'm smiling? I said, no. He said, the Lord Jesus appeared to me. He stood there just a while ago. I felt like the worst sinner. I said, what is the sin in my life that Jesus will not appear? So that was where I came from. When I came to Maiduguri, I went to a church one time. God's servant Apostle George Ayuba was the one to preach. When he finished preaching, the whole place was on fire and they began to pray. Just pray as well. But of course, they gave him time. So he finished his time and sat down. And that was how the thing cut off. That, for a long time, that was the highest of the move of God I saw. So that Psalms was the prayer I began to pray. The reason why revival is not burning on our street is because we don't have hungry men. We don't have people who have developed a desire. Just like men who brought themselves together. Did you hear the story? 40 men, they came together. They said they will not eat or drink. They vow until they kill Paul. How many of you young people will vow that this week, no breakfast. I will speak in tongues 3 hours, 4 hours every day. This God is either he appears to me or I will appear to him. How many of you months to your birthday, you see why we have ordinary people? You see why we have people who are oppressed by witches? That anointing for revival has come. You see why we have people oppressed by witches and wizards? I see a lot of young people are the ones that need prayer more. Why? When you are young and you should deploy your strength to the place of prayer, hungry for God, to see God move until he uses you as a vessel. Young people are the ones that need prayer more. They are the ones that are depressed more. You are depressed now when you are young. What will you do when you are old? You think it will just... No. God needs hunger. That's why I read that Psalms. He said, will you not revive us again? Imagine a child crying to the father or crying to the mother. You know, go give us food again. Now, you know, that kind of statement will bring guilt. When last did you pray till God was moved in such a way that if he doesn't appear to you, it's like him, he has committed sin. When was the last time you took a burden for your family to the place of prayer and you will not come out until you see God move? I remember the day the anointing for my calling came on me, January 18th, 2018. I used to hear this story about Bishop David Oyedepo, God's servant, that he had an 18-hour encounter with God. I used to read the story and hear of it. So I don't know. Maybe it was God that stirred up the desire. Me, I say, okay, me, ma, I'll go 18 hours. Do you know what it means? It means you will not see the sun. You shut the door. You are in tongues, no food, praying for 18 hours. There were points in that prayer meeting that I felt like leaving. In fact, for many hours, I felt like I was the only one there. In fact, I slept and woke up 2 or 3 times. But you know me, my formula for prayer is, if I sleep when I'm praying, when I wake up, I continue the prayer. The sleep is part of the prayer. Until heaven knows. God knows that I'm in flesh. He knows how weak this flesh is. He knows that if I'm not in flesh, I can stay without sleeping. So I will not sleep and wake up and feel bad. Now lie. Prayer continue from there. You don't pray to pass time. You pray until you encounter God. He said, will you not revive us again? And I will not tell you the other things. I will tell you next week. There are moments like that in my life. Moments like that. I remember one time somebody gave me some money. I carried the money, went and booked a hotel room. Don't try this at home. I booked for one night because that was all the money. We were very broke then. As soon as I entered that, I asked for water. I told them, give me water. They gave me water. As I entered that place, I closed the curtain. I entered around 12, thereabout or so. I closed the curtain so that light will not enter. Switched on the AC. Tongues. Till it was time for me to leave. Nobody, no great person in the kingdom is made in the open. I can't tell you the encounters I had, the beings that walked into that room that night. And look at your life, look at your destiny, and you think this is all that God has for you? Tonight, the flames of revival will be ignited in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, before we pray, how can we birth the flames of revival? Number one, the word. The word. You will only see the flames of revival when you return to the word. Acts chapter 20 verse 32. It says, I commend you to God and the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. The word. Listen to me. Every great revival in the Bible and in church history began when men sought the word. What we are relegating the most, what we are running away from the most, many young people cannot stand one chapter of the Bible a day. That is the that's where revival begins from. The word. How did Martin Luther begin the revival of Reformation in his time? Was it not the word of God? One scripture that he caught light in and he drove on the strength of that scripture till there was a revolution in the church. Every revival begins when men seek the word of God. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 30 and to 35, you remember the story of Philip when the Spirit of God told him, leave where you are and go to the wilderness, the road that leads to the wilderness. And as he was walking in that hot sunny day, he saw a eunuch in a chariot, and the eunuch was reading the scroll of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit told Philip, overtake this chariot. He didn't tell Philip what to say. When Philip overtook the chariot, he came to the man. He said, understandest what thou readest? The man said, how can I understand except somebody explains to me? And that's how revival came for that man. He became born again. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, as he came out from that water, the Holy Ghost was so mighty in that place that Philip disappeared. And the Bible says he didn't see Philip again. And he took that gospel joyfully to the whole of Ethiopia, his country. The word of God is where revival comes from. Oh, I'm telling you, many of you, carry your life the way your life is. Just go back to open the Bible from tomorrow morning and say, I will not rest until I see the opposite. I see God's opinion about my life from this world. Let's say a life that is filled with failure, a life that is filled with all kinds of problems. Go back to the word and look for what God is saying about you. Stay there and let the light hit your spirit. I'm telling you, a light will hit you that will hit your generation. Every man that God uses is a product of the word. A man that caught the revelation from one scripture and bam. The word of God. We must return back to the word. We must return back to the word. In 2 Kings chapter 22 verse 8 to 20, the Bible spoke of a king called Josiah. When he was trying to reform Judah, because the kings before him were into idol worship. He became a king at a time when Judah had gone into idol worship. As young as he was, confused, he didn't know what to do. And they told him one time that they have found the book of the law in the temple. He told them to bring it as they were reading it to him. He saw how that they had broken all the laws in Judah. The Bible says the king tore his clothes. When last were you convicted when the word of God was against what you did? The last time you stole meat from your mother's pot, and as you were passing the Bible, you read, thou shalt not say, just close it. I know. Or you see a short clip on YouTube. Stealing is stealing. Whether it is your mother's pot or somewhere, you just know, next this one. The Bible says the king tore his clothes. He was grieved. And he declared a fast. The next chapter, he gathered the whole of Judah and they took an oath, a covenant before God that we will return back to the word and we will obey the word. And the Bible says that brought revival. King Josiah, read about him. The last good king of Israel. And he did it as a young man. He was 8 years old when he became king. I can't wait for youth aflame to come. I'm telling you the truth. There's a fire that must land on the young people in this land. I'm telling you the truth. The word of God. You see me? That's been one of my greatest secrets. There were years in my life till today, but there were years in my life when I would sit down with the Bible from morning till evening. 4-8 hours. I'm telling you, the only thing that will make me stand up is to pray or to ease myself. I saw a scripture, Job chapter 23, verse 12. It said, I found your word to be more necessary than my food. Give us that scripture, Job 23, verse 12. I need you guys to move with me quickly, please. I'm out of time. Job 23, verse 12. You'll have to train yourself to become more hungry for the word of God than for food. More hungry for the word of God than for social media. If not, forget about God. Forget about seeing anything that God will do in your life. In fact, those days in NIFES, we had a slogan, NDNB. You remember? No Bible, no breakfast. You know what it means? You are not eating breakfast until you have read 1, 2, or 3 chapters or more of the Bible. If we must see revival, we must return back to those kind of disciplines, sir. I'm telling you, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you reach out for your phone, is your chat or WhatsApp before you see. Isn't it amazing? Technology is making us forget the most important things. Trained us to devotion. In fact, when they wake you up in the morning, but now because you are independent, you stay alone. You're on campus. Go the way that they used to bring you up in the ways of God. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing, some people, the first thing is even Snapchat. They wake up in the morning and they want to snap that this is me without makeup. That scripture, is something wrong with your Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says, this book of the law of your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night. Listen, it's not just reading and studying the word, but deep meditation. With deep meditation. How many of you are thinking about? No, you are thinking about the food you don't have in your hostel. About the money that's not in your account. Well, as you take one promise from the word of God, meditate on it till it becomes visual in your mind. Use your imaginations to create. When, for instance, when the Bible says that you shall be blessed above all nations, do you have a picture in your mind? Have you meditated on that scripture enough that you have a picture of how it looks like in your mind to be blessed above nations? Have you seen it before? It says you shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. Do you have a picture like that? Have you seen it? Have you seen a video like that in your mind? It is when we begin to meditate. The word of God comes alive in the action of meditation. There's a scripture I saw. Isaiah 42, when God encountered me, verse 6. He said, the Lord have called you in righteousness and I'll hold your hand and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. That last word, as a light, that last sentence, as a light, I meditated on it for more than 1 year, to a point where now I know that in the spirit realm my appearance is light. If you don't believe me, the next time demons are shouting here, ask them. You call me Jonathan, but in the spirit my name is Light, because that's what I saw in the world. You meditate on it till it becomes your reality. Any other person can embrace anything they call reality, no problem. You see, I like the kingdom. And the Bible the Bible says the kingdom of God is at hand. You know what it means? It means that it is left to you to accelerate, to determine how far you will go in the kingdom. It's not left to the fact that we are all of the same family, so we suffer. No. If any man be in Christ, he, not them, he is a new creature. So you look at the word of God and dig up promises. How did this ministry start? I saw a scripture. It said, in the wilderness, streams of water shall flow. And in the desert, rivers shall flow. That was my vision. And it bettered this ministry. Somebody asked me one time, must you have a vision and see Jesus? Must you have a vision and see angels? Me, I didn't have all those ones. So it was a scripture I saw that bettered this ministry. And you are seeing greater miracles than even people who have had visions of angels and cherubims and all of that. He said, rivers shall flow in the desert. And Maiduguri is a desert area. That means revival. that there's a move of God. If we pray well enough, there's a move of God that will break out here and will export it to the nations of the world. That Maiduguri was once known globally as a center, an epicenter for insurgency. But if God can raise me and a generation, one day this city will be known as the epicenter of a global revival. That's what I saw. And I began to pray with it alone. And then people started joining me. And today we are an army. Not only in this place. Something should wake up in your heart tonight. If I'm preaching and nothing is moving, I didn't see angels, so it's scripture I saw. That's what bettered this ministry. Passionate obedience. Meditation and obedience. Ezra chapter 7 verse 6 and verse 10. The Bible says Ezra was a scribe. He was skilled in the laws of Moses. And then in verse 10, the Bible says, and Ezra set his heart. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Before your next birthday, prepare your heart to seek what the Bible is saying concerning you. Before your next anniversary, prepare your heart to seek what the word of God. If God is not talking by dreams, go to the word. Stay there. Prepare your heart to seek it out. The Bible calls it the most sure word of prophecy. You don't always need prophecy. The word of God can be enough. More sure word. More sure word. May God baptize us with hunger for his word and grace to obey. In the name of Jesus. Number two, passionate service. Birthing the flames of revival. Number two, you want to birth the flames of revival. You must embrace passionate service in the house of God. Passionate service, not lackadaisic service. Not anyhow kind of service. You know, many of us give our best to our corporate organization and give God the rest when we come on Sunday. Am I talking to you? Is that true? Yeah. And they want God to give them his best and give the devil the rest. But they give God the rest and give the organization the best. If you ask them, it's because they need to pay us here. Passionate service in the house of God is one of the secrets to seeing revival. Exodus 23 verse 25. I want you to picture this as though it is your life. Exodus 23, 25. It says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water. That's provision is settled. Number two, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That means any man wholeheartedly committed to the service of God will live a life immune to sickness. Can I tell you something? By the grace of God, as I stand before you, I can't remember when last I took a tablet or an injection for malaria. 3 or 4 years ago, perhaps. My only sickness is headache. Once I have it, I know I'm overstressed. Before God and you, I'm telling you, seasons change. Nothing changes in my body. With all the stress of this work, you think it's easy to stand here as I've been sweating like this for hours? I'm here. When I finish, I'll come down, stay another 1 hour, 30 minutes to see and pray for people. And there's nothing in the stomach. But I'm more healthy than some people that they have to push to church. Something happened with my father recently. My father is a man of God by the grace of God. He's a reverend. In fact, we learned service in the house of God through him. My brother knows the story. He was coming back home and then he fell into a river. He fell on his ribs to the river. You know, when you are going down and then just as you are going down, you fell on his ribs. In fact, we thought that one bone is broken. Guess what? They took him for scan the next day. No broken bone. No injury. Last week he went back to Jos. They did general medical checkup. They did not find a trace of any sickness in him. When he told me, I sent him a text. I said, Daddy, your health is a mystery. I connect to that mystery. I'm not surprised. From when I was giving birth to, I knew him with the service of God. My father carried church on his head. till he had enemies. He was not assistant pastor, but he was working as though he was the assistant pastor. I remember one time, somebody in the leadership of one of the branches, he went to pastor. They founded it and they were pastoring. Somebody went and told the GO, my father ate church money, this one, that one. And then they secretly brought the GO into the service that Sunday. Imagine that you are in church as a branch pastor and then your GO just show, bam. You know, say judgment they don't reach. They brought him out. After service, they brought him out. Say they say you ate church money. Oh yeah, they started judging the case. When they went and broke the records, it was church that was owing him money. With that kind of embarrassment, his children were there. We were all little there. I've seen him face all kinds of things, but his passion for God. And I'm talking about somebody who's almost 70 years, I believe. He will come to Maiduguri very soon. For all his life that we know, he has only been to the hospital once. And that one, I know it was an attack. When we ask him, how come your health is fine? What's the secret? He will tell you that. The Bible says all flesh is as grass. What does grass need to grow? Only water. I drink my water and I go. Thank you, sir. But the secret is service. Sir, tell your neighbor service. I'm telling you, sir. See, some of you who are coming to meet me after the service to pray for you, no matter how much I pray with passion, maybe your secret is to start serving. Find a department and bury yourself there. I may pray the blessing will be hanging over you, but it will not drop. It's service that will provoke it. Listen, I was not born an apostle. My father is not apostle. My father is a pastor by calling with my grandfather. This grace, this apostolic grace, I inherited it by serving apostles. True, I inherited it. In our lineage, we don't have that calling. It's not in our lineage. It's inherited. Passionate service. Think about the way you treat God. Think about how you treat the things of God. Some people feel that if they join any department in church, they will insult them. Thank you, brother, for coming, but you are still full of yourself. When you truly love God, you will bury your heart. I'm telling you, if you want to see the flames of revival rest upon your life, you must be addicted to kingdom service. Job 36:11 says that if they obey and serve him, they will spend their years in prosperity and their days in pleasure. Psalms 100 verse 2. Have you seen that verse before? It's a command. Service is a command in the kingdom. Psalms 100 verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. It's a command. It's not whether you feel like it. Do you see the people from the other side? Whether they have malaria or not, when it's time for prayer, they pray. During fasting, if they have ulcer and they can't fast, they must do something. What do they call it in their this thing? You will have to do in exchange for that. And you don't see them questioning the religion. Everybody's just following. We now, that is a religion by choice, that God gave us our freedom. Especially in the north. I don't know. See, northern Nigeria will only start seeing revival when Christians wake up. I'm telling you, no matter how many anointed vessels we have, at best, if God raised them from here and we refuse to cooperate, God will send them out. It's when believers, you and I, you and that person seated near you, when we decide to become passionate for God, that's when the northern part of Nigeria will experience the move of God like other parts. And I'm not in any way insulting my region, no. I love the north, I'm proud of the north. But we must wake up. We must wake up. People come to church when they want. And in their mind, they look for a justifiable reason. I will go when the pastor is on stage. Me, I can't stand for 3 hours, 4 hours. But that person went to the bank and sat down for 5 hours waiting for them to fix his BVN. And they did fix the BVN. They say, come back the next day. He grumbled and came back the next day. But he cannot sit down for 3 hours. You can't sit down for 3 hours. Your life cannot change to the degree to which it will make you a world changer. Let me tell you the truth. Passionate kingdom service. John chapter 12 verse 25 to 26. This is the last on this point. John chapter 12 verse 25 to 26. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Verse 26, it says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. You want God to honor you with grace and with glory and power and blessings, then surrender to service. Number four, fiery evangelism. Number three, intense prayer and prolonged intercession. Betting the flames of revival. One of the ingredients to seeing the flames of revival burn in your life, in your church, on your street, in your school, you must be given to intense prayer and prolonged intercession. Do you know what prolonged intercession is? How many of you can hold one prayer point for 5 months? I'm not talking about in the 5 months you are just, I'm talking you pray it every day or as long as you remember. Prolonged intercession. Those of you from Unimed, anyway, next month is prayer rain in Unimed. I thought you would clap. Yeah. We are going for prayer rain conference next month in Unimed before Utah Flame. If we wait till after Utah Flame, some people will just die. We are going there. During our time, the move of God we saw, we left school 2, 3, 4 years later, people were still reaping from it. In fact, there was a prayer altar we established. It's not like we gathered people and said we started. No. We just started praying. People were joining. We left school. People continued. One time, 2 years later, I told Bishop, go and close it. He went and closed it. 1 week later, they all gathered and continued praying. The spirit of the altar was too strong. Prolonged intercession. Now I'm hearing all kinds of things there. Unwanted pregnancy. Gay, lesbianism. This one, you never see anything. If you guys don't wake up and begin to intercede, the people practicing evil and witchcraft, they don't sleep in the night. It's believers that want to see revival that are sleeping. No way, it won't work like that. It can't work. Prolonged intercession. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Have you seen that scripture before? Pray without ceasing, no stop. James chapter 5 verse 17 to 18, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He said the effectual fervent prayers of Elijah are village more. Verse 16. 17 says Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He too used to sleep. He felt hunger. But the Bible says he prayed. He prayed that there should be no rain. He prayed that there should be no rain. And for 3.5 years, one man locked up the heaven. No witchcraft cult. No witchcraft coven. There was no amount of sacrifice they did. Rain could not fall. Why? Because one man prayed. One man prayed. One man prayed. Oh my God. There are families here that there is nobody to pray. Nobody to rise. No intercessor. And that's why Satan is on rampage. They are looking for the next man of God. You be the man of God of your own family first. Let me tell you the truth. Family deliverance, eh? I believe in the place of the prophetic. I can pray for you. And that prayer releases the anointing to begin the deliverance. At least for your life. But for your family to be completely delivered, you will need to play your part and pray. And pray. And pray. And to show you that it was not guesswork, the Bible says Elijah prayed again and rain fell. I don't have time to talk to you about Jesus. In Luke's gospel, prayer surrounded the life and destiny and ministry of Jesus. Chapter 1 of Luke, when Zechariah was in the temple, the children of Israel were outside praying. the angel appeared to him and said, your prayer has been heard. He was not praying. He was only offering incense. It was people outside that were praying. So you can pray and people in the village will start seeing answers. Not because they pray, but because one man called God. Chapter 2, the Bible spoke about Simeon and Anna, the prophetess. Two people that used prayer to birth the greatest revival in history. That is the coming of Jesus. The Bible spoke of Anna, a widow. And she spent her days and nights in the temple praying and fasting. When I calculated it, she had prayed for more than 50 years. That kind of prayer will not bring an angel. It will bring the Savior himself, the Messiah himself. 50 years. Chapter 3 of Luke, verse 21. When Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water praying, not taking selfie. Praying! And the Bible says the heavens tore open. It was John the Baptist that was to announce him before the people after baptism. But the prayer of Jesus provoked a voice from heaven. Chapter 4, he went to the desert 40 days and 40 nights praying. Even the devil could not stand the power that came from him. The devil left him. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Chapter 5 of Luke, verse 16. And the Bible says, and Jesus often withdrew himself to pray. He was busy with ministry, but he always prayed. He was busy with ministry. So you will imagine Jesus finished the crusade. Instead of going to sleep, he will not sleep. Because he finished the crusade around 10 p.m. And 12 is prayer time. And he will keep himself awake till 12. And pray till 3 while others that came for the crusade that were ministered to were sleeping. No wonder he was walking with power anyhow. Just because he was not present one time in Luke chapter 9. The Bible says they brought a demon, a boy that had a demon. The disciples could not cast him out. Jesus told them, this kind cannot go out except by intense prayer and fasting. I can go to every chapter in Luke's gospel. We'll talk about the prayer ministry of Jesus. In fact, do you know, sir, that the only thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them was prayer. The only thing they asked him, they didn't ask him to teach about power, teach about the anointing. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. Have you ever thought of that? That's the only time recorded in the Bible that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them something. Because prayer is what produces the change. Just start praying. It will look like nothing is happening. God is dealing with flesh. He's dealing with self. That thing that makes you want to live. Let me tell you, even us at our level, don't think there's an extra grace. No. Even me like this, there are times I will wait in the presence of God in prayers for hours. I feel like leaving. My stomach will say, go and break the fast, but I will remain there. It's not easy for all of us. But if you want to see the move of God, if you want to see revival, if you want to see signs and wonders, I have seen God do mighty things through my hands. You will write your own story. You will write your own story. But me, I have seen blind eyes open. I've seen creative miracles. I've seen money appear in people's accounts. I've seen revival break through families. I've seen deliverances on different scale. I've seen the destinies of men shift over and over again. There's a lot I can write about what God has done in my life, but yet I'm still praying to see more. You will write your own story. Do you want to write a story of powerlessness? That you lived a normal life like everybody. You decided to be a girl. You decided to be a lady. Or do you want to be known as the man that provoked the move of God? I wish we had time, but maybe I'll stop here and continue next week. Because I want us to pray. There is a revival I studied about. It's called the Moravian Revival. Go and browse about it. Moravian. These guys gathered together. They built a place. And they were meeting there to pray. They did a 24-hour chain prayer. You know what that means? From this time to this time, these people will come and pray. As they are leaving, another set is coming. For 24 hours. And they did it non-stop. Not for 1 week. Not for 1 month. Not for 1 year. For 100 years. Go and browse it. The Moravian Revival. That's the revival that bettered the move of the likes of John Wesley and the rest. 100 years. Satan knows that the day we have our own building, our own place. One day you will come and see fire on the roof. You will, because even in this place, there are men that God has possessed that passion of prayer. There are some people here that pray more than me. You think, no, there are some people here, if they start praying, that's the way we can see revival. The reason why souls are not saved is because we are not praying. The reason why we are not seeing Muslims saved is because we are not praying. The reason why we are not seeing imams and their children saved is because we are not praying. The reason why Nigeria is the way it is because we are just running church and ministry, but we are not praying. How many churches do you have them once in a month raise a prayer for at least the territory, the city? It's always church as usual. Church where the prayer cannot be more than 15 minutes. You think God will change people in that church? Is that the kind of church that will produce blessings? Is that the kind of church that will produce power? That the highest time of prayer is 15 minutes? That kind of church, they will have a witch will be head of women fellowship. Then a wizard will be the chief usher. But God is going to possess us with the power of prayer this season. Maybe I'll stop here, then we'll continue the rest next week. I wish I could finish up, but next week you already have something to talk about. Okay, let me rush the remaining points and then we'll pray. Number 4, fiery evangelism. That's another way to see the flames of revival. Evangelism. We must develop passion for souls. We must pray for the salvation of souls. Mark chapter 16 verse 15, 19 to 18. Oh, sorry, 17 to 18 and verse 20. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, 3 to 4 and 2 Peter 3 verse 9. God wants to see all souls saved. Number 5, love. Love among the brethren. Jesus said in John chapter 13 verse 34 to 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love for one another. If there is no love in the church, we will not see the flames of revival. It's love that will cause us to fellowship together. Which leads me to the last point. The assembly of believers. The assembly of believers. That's the last point. If you must see the flames of revival, Bertel. The assembly of believers. Fellowship. Coming to church. Hebrews 10 verse 25. The Bible says we should not forsake the gathering of the saints. Hebrews 12 verse 22 to 24. You are city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the church of the firstborn assembly, the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Do you know that when we gather like this, let me tell you something. This gathering, you see, is more spiritual than it is physical. Do you know? This is the last thing I say and then we'll pray. Do you know that our corporate authority can only be exhibited when we gather together? I'm not talking of online gathering, no. I'm talking of when we come together like this in the house of God. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 4 to 5. Our corporate authority is in our gathering together. Listen. I am not as an now. I am more anointed now than when you see me tomorrow on the street. Yes, sir. I am more anointed now than when you come to my office for counseling. It's the truth. You know why? Because under this corporate atmosphere, I will operate at the highest frequency of my anointing. Because of the power of togetherness. Look at it. He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in the name of Jesus, what shall happen? He said, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So Paul was talking about a man who was committing immorality in the church. And Paul was prescribing how to discipline the man. Paul said, when the church gathers together, that's when they have the corporate authority to discipline that guy. Corporate
authority is when we gather like this. The Bible says we are gathered to Mount Zion. When we gather like this, there are angels, not just one, angels moving here. Without you even asking, loads, yokes are lifted from the families of people. Age-long curses are broken without you even talking. Because of the act, if God can open your eyes to see the anointing that we conjure together, when we gather, that's why the devil struck in 2020, COVID, shut everybody in the house. And darkness came on the whole earth. And there's a plan to bring another pandemic again. Anything that threatens our gathering. You see, sometimes some of us, they have to beg you. I understand. Sometimes no money, no this or that. But you see, understanding will make you damn the consequences. When I stand, the day I prayed that rain shouldn't fall here, it was here. I took advantage of corporate authority and commanded the rain to fall that night. And the whole week of drought ended. I'm not as powerful as that when you see me on Friday. But when we come together like this, we are drawing from the strength of one another. The Bible says of the apostles, the disciples of old, Acts chapter 2 verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. They continued. Just keep coming. Just keep gathering. If, sir, I believe that if we shut down this meeting for 1 month, nobody will need to tell you. You will see the effect on our territory. 1 day is not even enough. Look at the damage that we are doing to the kingdom of darkness by just 1 day in a week of gathering. Imagine if we were meeting 3 or 4 days. Think of what would have happened to your life. Anything that fights you from coming to the house of God. I've told my people, I say even if not death, I go die for church. And guess what? Nobody dies in church. Even if it's my last breath, carry me to church, I will come and preach. I remember a story of, no, I watched the video of Archbishop Benson Idahosa. He was preaching in a church, a service like this, with his Agbada. The whole place, hot. And he was preaching and preaching and somebody died. They brought the woman to the altar. You will see her mouth was open, you know, just dead. You know what he did? People were shouting Jesus in the video. He said, oh, bring her here, bring her here. Nobody dies in the house of God. They brought her to the front. He laid hands on her. Life in the name of Jesus. Give me water. He collected water, poured on the woman. She woke up back to life. One time after church, he was giving announcement before they were closed. Somebody fell from the balcony. Skull, open, brain came out, died. There are cases you see, you can try to pray for resurrection. There are some cases you see, just pack and go bury. He didn't stop. He was giving his announcement. When he finished, he told them to bring the person. They took the person to another room. Put everything together, joined the head, prayed in tongues. The person woke up back to life. You think that person, if that person had died at home or on the street, you think that person would have been saved? One time I watched God's servant, Apostle John C. Suleiman. One of these conferences he used to do. Somewhere around 2014 or 15 or so. They were about to go for break after the morning session. Somebody had an accident on the road because his church is on the express road. Died. Rushed the person to the hospital. No, they brought the person inside the church. He laid hands. The person came back to life. Many of you, God has saved you from so much by just gathering together. Now, guess what? We are not just gathered to waste our time. Our gathering is an agenda of the kingdom to bring revival in our time. How many of you are ready for the move of God? Open your mouth and begin to pray in the spirit right now. Open your mouth and begin to pray in the spirit. Open your mouth and begin to pray in the spirit right now. God is moving in this season. God is shifting things in this season. God is about to release a move of His spirit like we have never seen before. There's about to be the wind of the spirit is about to move in our nation, is about to move in our state, is about to move in Africa. God is about to be released again upon the earth. The Bible says that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters cover the sea.
Lift your voice and pray in the spirit. Malakara balakara soko korogoto leba. I know you are here. You are in your presence. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here in your power. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here in your power. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here in your power. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. Maraka parakoto sikala bayagada. Lekroso protologo borogodosia. Mandra patara de kopia sopra telegebrama. In Jesus.
We are going to pray for 5 minutes. Are you ready? Hold the hands of somebody by your side if you can. The Lord is telling me that we should pray this prayer just for 5 minutes and we'll close. Just take it up a little bit. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 21. The Lord said just now, He said that we should pray this prayer. You are going to pray this prayer for your family. The Bible says, then saviors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Simple prayer. Lord, let the anointing for saviors rest upon my life and upon my family. Look at me. Do you know what it means to be a savior? On the strength of one man, God can bring deliverance to a nation. On the strength of one man, God can bring deliverance. It's possible for God to deliver a nation by one man. He brought them out by a prophet. That's the anointing for a savior. For some of you, it's deliverance from poverty. When that anointing for a savior comes on your life, a strange dimension of wealth will hit your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wealth that will cripple poverty amongst your siblings. Are you ready to pray at all? Or are you tired? You are tired, ba? Are you ready to pray? Yeah, we are tired, ba? It's alright. I can imagine sometimes we are tired. Sometimes when we finish meetings like this, I will go back as tired as I am. I don't sleep till 2 a.m., 3 a.m. You and I have the same body. You just need to be desperate enough. Are you ready to pray? The Lord said in these 5 minutes that we pray, the power of God will visit families, will visit homes, will visit houses. There will be strange, speedy and massive deliverances. Are you hearing what I'm seeing? I'm seeing a visual tree falling. Yes. And God says the stronghold and the strong man over a fall to drop. Are you ready to pray for just 4 more minutes? Lord, let the anointing for saviors rest upon my life and upon my family. I want you to pray like your man of God. I want you to lift your voice and pray. Let the anointing for saviors. Let the anointing for saviors.
New matter, please pray. Let the anointing flow. Will arise. Saviors will arise. Let the anointing for saviors arise. Fall upon my life. Fall upon my family.
Prayer. One more prayer. Please, what's today's date? Verse 7. The Holy Spirit just whispered that to my ear. I didn't even check. Quickly. Psalms 20, verse 7. Just 2 minutes to pray this prayer. Every stronghold family will disappear. Psalms 20, verse 7. Can I have my tablet for me? Quickly. Psalms 20 verse 7. Open it for me. Together on the screen. One, two, go. Some trust in chariots. Read it one more time. Some trust in chariots. He said, we remember the name of the Lord, our God. Oh God, by the power of your name, in this season, open your mouth and pray yourself. Prove yourself. Prove yourself. This situation around. Overcome every circumstance. Of yourself. Prove yourself. Let the souls of the ones of hell. Prove yourself. The name of the Lord is the name of the Lord. By the name of the Lord. By the name of the Lord. By the name of the Lord.
By the name of the Lord. Sakaria in Jesus' name. There's some trust in chariots and some. Remember the name of the Lord our God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they are saved. I want to make a declaration. Lift your hands. There are forces of hell that must fall and collapse over families and over territories for them to see the deliverance from heaven. For the name of Jesus Christ, that this week, beginning from tonight,
every stronghold of darkness over families, over individuals, over territories, over cities. We command them to collapse now. In the name, every satanic blockade, every satanic revival, anything that is in your school, by the power of him that died and rose again, we command obstacles to be destroyed. We command those obstacles to be destroyed. We command them to collapse and never rise. Please lift your hands. I pray for you. Baptism of hunger for the hunger, for passion, intense prayer and supplication. I'm talking about the grace that will make you not relent until God moves. I remember one time there was a bomb blast in Unimed. Then we were in final year. Activities on ecumenical center. That means no more prayer. We divided ourselves, hostels. Myself and a few guys, I chose Bishop and a few people. We walked around Unimed for, I think, 7 nights. Because those nights, we saw military. They flashed us light and passed us. But there was this boldness here. Can I prove? The grace that will make you not relent, even when the devil tries to trade you, just when God knows your, the grace that will make you persevere and outlast the devil, the grace that will make you persevere and outlast occultic and witchcraft manifestation. Jesus. And from today, that everything that has mocked your God, from today, the earth will open up and swallow it. In your life, let of testimonies around your life. I did not live one day powerless. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unction and the power to function, receive it in the name of Jesus. From today, everyone under the sound of my voice, may God use you as a catalyst to birth revival. In your schools, in your host, on the street, in your neighborhood, in your city, in your, become the agent for change. Become the catalyst for revival. Become the flame that will burn and never go out. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light. That will be your testimony from today. You'll be a burning and a shining light. Satan and his agents will not be able to withstand you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I want you to give the Lord a thunderous clap of hands. Hallelujah. Next week we're going to end this series on revival. It was this afternoon that God spoke to me and told me what to teach next week. I wanted to teach on the place of finance in championing the last day revival. But this afternoon God began to broaden it and I saw it was more than just financial resources. So the Spirit of God spoke to me audibly. And he said I should teach next week on the end time move. Understanding the last day revival. Now, next Sunday, for your information, will be like a special impartation service. Because that's what God told me. He said, when you teach it, I will cause the mantle belonging to every individual to rest upon them. And some of you will carry that mantle for finance. So make sure you are present next week. Because this place, the fire that will descend here, some people will literally be carried home. I know it because I see that's what God is about to do. We are in a season and I'm glad to be part of home. I'm talking to you or girl, man or woman, under the sound of my voice. I've heard the message, powerful message. I even prayed. The service was hot. But in my heart, I know that I don't really have a relationship with God. I'm not very serious with God. That person, I want to give you the opportunity to surrender to Jesus again. This is not a time to be ashamed. This is a time to surrender your heart and your life. God can still use you the way you are. He can pick up the pieces of your life and change your story. I'm going to count to 10. If you are amongst those people, wherever you are, I'd like you to pack your Bibles and your bags and walk to the front and meet me here. Don't wait to be the last. Be the first to run out and surrender to Jesus. Surrender to the Lord Jesus, who formed you, who designed you and created you for His glory. Please, let's keep clapping as they come. You want to surrender to Jesus? You want to rededicate your life afresh? You want to be serious with God? Please come quickly. 1, 2. Maybe if we clap more, they will come faster. 3, 4, 5. Lord, I give you my heart. I'm still waiting for you. I give you my soul. I live for you, oh Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. I'm making the altar call again. If you are here and you want to rededicate your life, please join them quickly. Quickly. It's not just for first time converts. You want to rededicate your life afresh to God. You want today to mark the day when you truly become serious with God, trusting His strength to help you pull through. Please join them quickly. I'm giving you 10 more seconds. I'm giving you 10 more seconds to join them. This is how revival can begin in your life. You surrender to Him and then He takes your life and gives you a new beginning. God bless you. God bless you. Please stretch your hands towards these ones in front. I'm still waiting for people who need to join them. It's not closed. The room is not closed. Keep coming if you need to come. Surrender your heart and your life to Jesus. Those of us in the congregation, would you stretch your hands to them and pray for them? Just pray and ask the Lord to strengthen them, to keep them, to establish them in the faith. Make sure you are praying. Don't just stretch your hands. Pray. Those of you in front, please put your right hand on your chest. You are going to pray this prayer after me and mean it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my sin. And I receive you into my heart and my life. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Now lift that right hand to heaven. Father, we declare by the authority of your word that their sins are forgiven. We declare them born again. From today, they will grow in victory and in grace, serving you for the rest of their lives. I decree and declare that sin has lost its grip over them. Satan, death, hell, and the grave. I declare that these ones will become agents of transformation, champions of revivals, vessels for your glory. Fill them with your spirit and may their lives never be the same. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for making this firm decision. It's a new chapter. In fact, a new book for you and God. Okay? God wants to help you grow in your knowledge of Him and He wants to use you for His glory. There are two things you do for me. Number one, please return back next Sunday so you can hear the word of God and grow. And I would plead with you to come with somebody to experience what you have experienced today. Number two, please turn to your left and just walk straight to that lady with the veil in her hand. They will lead you to our counselors so that they can have a word with you and also pray with you before you return back. God bless you. Let's celebrate God for them.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.